Esther, Kaylee Loma Zatani, we are in the middle, Rav Tepasik Yud Aleph. There's a lot of very interesting things in the Mepharshim here. We're hoping we'll get to Baruch HaTorah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Miyeh B'Dvaroi. So let's run to the Pesuk and then we'll go. We have some selected Mepharshim, some very, again, like I said, some very interesting things. Olach HaShlachti Mirochem. Okay, so over here we are continuing over here the discussion of page 196. 196, Alecha, upon you, Hashlachti Meirochem, upon you, Hashem, I have been cast upon from the moment that I've been born. Hashlachti, I've been thrown upon you. Hashlachti Meirochem, Mibetin Imi, from the womb of my mother, Keli Otto, you are my God. Let's see what it says within the Mitzvah of David. First, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Meirochem, Me'es Seisi Meirochem Imi, Hashlachti, I have been cast. What is that? Melecha, upon you, lahazmin li, to provide for me day sipukim, from the moment a child is born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides his needs. Mi bet and imi, kafal hadav bimi lashonis, poetic repetition.
Is your mic on, by the way?
It's very low.
Who
has been playing
my parish?
No, don't, of course you didn't. Sometimes they have here lahav. At night, we have the Kindelach. The Kindelach come learn here at night.
What binyan is Hashlachti?
I have been cast. Hashlach. What we'll see the Mepharshim a little bit later in the Mincha Seref, and he learns all these psukim referring to very specific events in reference to the life of Esther. We have to remember Esther was the loneliest person in the world. Her father died when her mother was pregnant. And her mother died when she was born. And in those days, there were no social programs. A baby that did not have parents was basically abandoned, was finished. So she said, the moment that when you look at these psukim from the perspective of Esther begging to Hashem, she's saying, G'mayim Baruch, from the perspective of Esther, she's saying that the moment I was born, I had no one but you. Because my father died. When my mother was pregnant, when I was born, my mother died. So she says, Olecha, upon you Hashem Hoshlachti, I was cast. The moment I came out of my mother's womb, my mother died. Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to care for me? This is not America. There's no one going to take care of you. No fire departments to put the baby in front of. Who's going to take care of me? Olecha, upon you Hoshlachti, Meirochem, from the womb. Nidetin imi keli ota. Okay, obviously that has to be refined because this means that she was already abandoned when she was in her mother's womb. Let's see, but right now over here, we'll get to that a little bit lower in a moment. Again, because we have to come back and we have to match up these psukim, these expressions, to a very specific event that happened in the lifetime of Esther Hamalka and the story of Purim, because this is the Mizmar. This Mizmar, to a degree, encompasses the entire story of Purim. So here it says, Mibet Nimi Kodom Lushos, only this part of repetition. Let's see, Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Olecha Hashlachti Meirochem, Nishlachti Meirechem, I've been cast out, I have been thrown out from the womb, I've been abandoned. Okay, Nishlachti Meirechem, Me'oz Hoitse Sani Meirochem, from the moment that you took me out of the womb, Kimodat Omar, Ho Amusim Mini Veten. Those that have been amusim means like destitute, you know, that people that are abandoned, that are helpless. May oz noldu hashavatim nisa'om v'nihalam. And Rashi learns this in reference to the Shiftei Kof. Rashi learns this from the Shiftei Kof, from the time that Klal Yisrael were born, you lifted them up. And you guided them. Okay, so he learns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken, Rashi is learning over here this pasuk of the Derech Medrash, not necessarily in reference to Esther, but in reference to Klal Yisrael. From the moment that the Shiftei Kof came into existence, we came out of the womb of the four Imois, of Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. From that moment, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have guided them. And you have elevated the Jewish people and guided them. Okay, next pasuk Yudbeis Al Tirchak Mimeni. Esther, please do not abandon me. Ki tsara kuraiva, because the tsara is near. Ki ein oizer, there is no one to help me. Mitzudah Esther pasuk Yudbeis. I'm going to run through the pasukim, and then we'll go back and do some selective mafarshim. Pasuk Yudbeis on page 196. Kuroiva v'chish maher. I love that expression. I'm the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos, the Pasuk Yud Beis, I love this expression. Chish maher. Chish maher is an expression which means quick, swift. Two words which mean exactly the same thing. There are many expressions that we have, colloquial expressions, expressions in Tanakh, expressions in the Gemara, where you say two words which really mean the same, literally mean the same exact thing, and you do this as a way of expressing an intensity of that matter. Chish means quick, maher means quick.
Maher shalal chashbaz.
Maher?
Maher shalal chashbaz.
Chashbaz.
It's a name there. Maher and
yeah. Chash. Two words which mean quick.
His name was
Maher. His name, that was his name. The name was, he was Speedy Gonzalez. In English, it's Speedy Gonzalez. Okay? Where I daven, there's a rule. The rule of thumb is, when it comes to laning, they tell the Baal Kriya, here in this synagogue, we sacrifice accuracy for speed. and you always say, like Speedy Gonzalez, just get it done. one way or the other. Kuroiva, v'chish maher. These two words are an expression which means swift. I need help immediately. No time to waste, Hashem. We are in a very great danger.
I mean, when you call Hatzalah,
they come quick. They pride themselves. They have the fastest response time in the world. Mm-hmm. That's right, Baruch Hashem. Ki ein oizer, ein bo'ilam oizer b'ltecha. There is none in the world. There is none in the world besides you, King. Let's see Rashi pasuk. There is no Rashi in this pasuk. Let's go pasuk Yud Gimel. We run through Sivavuni. Now this is some good stuff here. Sivavuni Podim Rabim. Okay, David over here is saying that Parim Rab, who are the Podim Rabim? Either this is going to mean, it means our enemies. It means our enemies are like cows. Abirei Vashon. Vashon will see maybe soon. There's a place in Eretz Yisrael where you can find the fattest animals, the most mighty animals. This is where they hung out. It was a forest where these creatures roamed free. And they are surrounding me. Kitruni. The word kitruni, every single mafarish on this page feels the need to say the same thing. What the word kitruni? Kitruni milosh of keser.
Right.
Keser yinilcha. The essence of a keser is to surround. It's to surround it. And that is very interesting, because if you do a study today online of a crown, you will discover not all crowns surround the entire head. Okay, some crowns only go on the front part of the head, they're along the front and the back. Not every crown covers 360 degrees of the head. And in every single mafarish over here says a keser, the essence of a keser is something which is completely encircles the head, and thus we're borrowing the word keser here to express the Jewish people are encircled, they are in danger, they are surrounded, they're under siege. The Avirei Vashon Kitruni, two words here which mean the same thing as poetry on a very simple level. Sivavuni, that's to surround me, and then it says Kitruni, and they mean for our purposes the same thing. One is the Podim Rabim, and the other is the Avirei Vashon. Notice the Podim Rabim represents quantity. And the Abirei Vashon represents quality. I have been surrounded by quantity, and I've been surrounded by quality. Okay, Podima means many. Not every Paris are dangerous. Some of the Paris are lazy. They're not going to put up a big fight. But the Abirei Vashon, these are monsters. You can't get by these creatures. And David over here is saying that I've been surrounded by multiple types of enemies. Mitzvah Pasuk Gimel. Parim hu hamashal al hasadim hamlochim. He learns that the parim refers to the princes and the kings. Kitruni sivuni keser ha mesabev esaroish, a keser which covers the head. Rashi pasuk yud gimel parim rabim malchuyos chazokim. He learns the kingdoms. Abirei vashon gam hu leshon parim babashon shem shemenim. Also same, it's also abirei means the fat parim of Bashan. Bashan is a place where in this region the animals are very thick and powerful and mighty. Kitruni sivavuni ki cheser hamakif esarosh, a keser that surrounds the head. Another pasuk, patsu alai pihem, they opened up their mouth. The word patsu means, we had this before, means to open their mouth. Arye toirefish shoig, they are equivalent to a lion that roars, toirefish means to rips apart,
right.
And vishoig and roars. Mitzudos pasuk yudalid, patsu pasu, pihem live all eini, to swallow me. Arye, first an Arye is a toireif, it rips apart, and then, delicious, it gives off a roar. You ever go to a restaurant where after they serve dinner, the person, when they bring the bill, the person goes, he gives a shout, delicious. I'll give you double. Whatever the bill is, I'll pay double. You never heard that, right? You don't see people after a delicious meal singing the praises of the restaurant.
I think they scream because of
the bill. The bill, exactly. You don't hear this. For some reason, animals, the reason why they're so happy is because they're not paying any bills. When the animal goes to the restaurant and rips apart its prey, it's not paying the bill. So the Arye is very happy to be a shoyeg. Now over here, I didn't really say it correct, because the Mitzudas David does not say that the joy is from the satisfaction. No, according to the Mitzudas David, the sound, the roar is from its method of eating. As it rips apart its prey, it terrorizes its prey and it screams. Rashi. And this pasuk says, "Arye toreif Nevuchadnezzar." He learns this in reference to Nevuchadnezzar. Rashi over here is going. Rashi obviously is going to Jewish history. Rashi is taking a little bit over here, a little over there. David, Klal Yisrael later Nevuchadnezzar b'chum ba'yis rishon. Okay, Rashi is because who is an Arye? Who in a Chazal is called the Arye? Nevuchadnezzar. So Rashi Kfi Darkoi is learning this according to the Medrash. Arye is a metaphor for Nebuchadnezzar. Olu Arye Misivcho. The Arye came from
that's
its thicket.
That's always quoted about
Babel. About Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, let's do another few psukim. Kamayim nishpachti v'hisparu kol atzmosoi. Like, I melted. Okay, these are some very powerful metaphors. I'm like water. Nishpachti. I've been poured out. The terror that I'm experiencing has caused me to melt like water, and my fluid has just flowed. V'sporedu kol atzmosoi. All of my bones have been separated. We always like to talk about this. Chilutz atzmos. Chilutz atzmos. We are mespalel on Rosh Chodesh. Berachas Rosh Chodesh. What does that mean? So we like to say that it means the opposite of this expression. When a person is in a state of terror, he melts, and his bones are dislodged from their sockets. That's what it means. Hisporidu, they're separated kol atzmosoi from their sockets. A state of good health is when the bones are firmly inserted into the sockets, into their joints. And chilutz is the 180 degree opposite of chalitza. Chalitzas hanoal, the loosening of the straps of the shoe. To loosen is when you loosen the straps, so now the shoe is weak. The shoe is not firmly attached to the body because you have untied the straps. Chalitza. When you take a word and you manipulate its vowels, it goes on. Yeah. What?
See, I think that chilutz atzmos is having agility and flexibility.
Okay, so we had this discussion many, many times. So you want to say that either of your bones are loose. You want to say just the opposite of the person's...
range of motion. I mean, okay,
so you want to say agility. Agility. Okay, maybe yes. There are different ways to look at it. Okay, we had a discussion many, many times. I personally prefer the interpretation that it means that the bones are in their sockets. They're nice and snug. Not too much. You have to have some lubricants. You know, you have to change the oil once in a while to make sure they move. But generally, you want the bones to be firmly inserted in their sockets. Once they get out of the sockets, finished. So, but the word, what's the word chilutz? Just like there's the word, we said this many times, there are 100 words like this. Yishrosh Yisharesh.
I don't think it applies.
Harav, Dr. Orlian Zechet Tzak Levracha is on your side. He never liked when I said this. He was a five-star Baal Diktuk, and he liked the interpretation that you should go jogging. Chilutz Atzamos means you should go jogging every day so that your bones are loose. On exercise, your bones should be loose. Because if you sit around like a couch potato, then the bones get stiff. Exactly. So if you do exercise, the bones are loose.
Flexibility.
That's chalitza. Loose. Okay? Over here, but the problem is if it gets too loose, then what happens? You come into this madrega. If the bones get too loose, you become the hisporidu called atzmosai. They become separated. Pirud. This word means pirud, they become too loose. If it's too loose, it's no good. It has to be like Goldilocks. Not too soft, not too hard, right in the middle. Hisporidu, it's too loose. And if it's too tight, it's also no good. It has to be like Rav Chola saying chalitza, just nishtahi nishtaher, just right. Fine. Hoyalibika doi no. This is not such a common word in Tanakh. Wax. You don't have this word so often. Wax. My bones, my heart became like wax. Okay, which means it melted. Nomes besoch me'oi. It melted in my innards. That's very unusual because you don't usually refer to the heart. Where do you have any makar to say that the heart is one of a person's me'ayim? Me'ayim usually refers to the stomach, the stomach, the whole tract, the digestive system of a person. You don't usually use the word me'oy in reference to the heart. Here it says libi ka doinog nomes, it melted besoch me'oy. If the heart is melting into the digestive system, we got a big problem. And we have over here in this pasuk, three different examples of melting.
Weakness.
Right. Three different examples. Mayim. Mayim, liquid flowing. Number two, the separation. My limbs are separating. Okay, my heart is melting like wax. Well, there's really more. I made a mistake. There's mayim. Okay, kamayim nishbachti, period. Number two, vispardu kol atzmos, my bones have been separated from one another. Number three, my heart became like wax. Number four, hayalibi kado nog, kama. Then it says nomes, it melted. It melted besoch me'oy. Okay, obviously there's a lot of poetry, there's a lot of depth. Certainly there is a lot of very deep meaning over here. If you go maybe to a real big doctor, maybe he can really explain to you scientifically what this means. But very powerful stuff here. Let's see the Mitzudas. Tavu Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin in the Mitzudas is on the next page. Tezvav, 199. Nishpachti, choyvadim shabi, nishpachu kamay, my limbs, they poured out like water. Vinispardu atzmosa, my bones separated. Kadonog, hanomes, mechoy moesh, they melted due to heat. Kenomes, libusach, my heart melted inside my innards. Okay, let's see Rashi. Kadonog. Wax. Heat. Pasik tezov kadonog shava hanimocha mechemesh. Wax melts due to heat. Tezayin. That's already next pasik. Next pasik. Few more psukim. Pasik yud tezayin. Yovesh kacheres. Koichi. Now, the word koichi, we're going to have a big discussion soon what the word koichi means. Koichi means my strength. Okay, but some are going to say koichi means my fluids, my lecha, moisture. A person has to have a healthy ratio of fluids in his body. Person is a dry mouth. Person, he has to be hydrated, and not just hydrated, not just liquid, but every organ has its unique liquid. The eye there's a lot of liquid in the eye. And it's not just water, it's obviously there's certain chemicals, certain things that have to be there. You wake up in the morning, if you have a dry throat, a dry mouth, that's a very big problem. Every part of the body, every part of the body has to have a degree of lachluchas, moisture. David here is saying, yovesh kacheres koichi, my strength, Okay, that's the simple interpretation. But almost all, many of the Mepharshim, yeah, they say that in this context, the word Koichi.
You just finished saying that the fluid spilled out. Now you're dry.
Correct, exactly. And what they do here, at the Kachas, they say in very big Chiddush to take the word Koichi and reverse the letters. Chiki. Instead of the Chof before the Ches, make believe, the Ches goes before the Chof. And then it's Chiki. And chiki means, that's the next word. That's the malkoichi. That's what the kuf.
The roof of my mouth?
No, that's what the kuf. That's what the kuf. Lichiki, that's with a chaf or a kuf. Probably, I don't know. That's malkoichoi. It's also a chaf, okay. But here we'll see in a moment a few mefarshim. They say that chiki in the Gemara, how does the Gemara means your phlegm. Phlegm. Chiki.
No, that's a chich. Chich.
Chich. Chich.
The part.
No, that's part of the mouth. No. I know. That's another word. But the Gemara also talks about a person, he spits up phlegm. We'll see in the Farshim in a moment. A person, he brings up phlegm. And the word to describe saliva, a collection of saliva or phlegm or some mucus, is chiki, or maybe not saying it correctly, we'll see in a moment, where the ches comes before the chaf. Now, you're going to put the ches before the chaf, then what you're doing over here is something which we also do every so often in language, is where you interchange letters. Keves, kesev, simla, salma. There are a collection of words where, whatever the reason is, you're permitted to interchange the letters. Sometimes it's Salma, sometimes it's Simla, sometimes it's Keves, sometimes it's Kesev. So this would be another example where the word Koichi means, we think it means power. That's the simple interpretation. But in the context here, we're not referring to your power. We're referring to the person's hydration. And hydration in this context doesn't just mean water, it means all of the bodily fluids.
That's
why healthy.
The Lashon got stuck to the thing.
Right, because there's no liquid, there's no moisture.
Right.
And it refers not just, we'll see the Farshim, it doesn't just refer to what's in the mouth, it refers to the bodily fluids, because the koyach of a person is in his, a healthy person, the hydration. When a person is properly hydrated, that is a sign of good health. When there's fluids that are missing, that is a bad sign. Okay, let's read the pasuk Yavish, like cheres means pottery. Like pottery is dry as can possibly be. Koichi ulashoni, my tongue mudbok, because there is no moisture, it's glued. Mal koichi. Mal koichi is the palate, and we'll see there are many interpretations exactly which part of the mouth this refers to. Which part of, we have to have someone who knows anatomy to tell you all the technical terms, because obviously it's,
we have two dentists.
Some learn, good. Some say it refers to certain the teeth. There are certain, either this refers to a collection of teeth or refers to jaws, muscles. There are different interpretations on the page as to exactly what this means. There's a very big naftamina, because you give the Kohen the Zroya and the Lechoyayim. The Kohen is entitled to get from every single animal the leg, the zroya, the front right leg of chulin, matnas kahuna, and the lichoyayim, and the keva, the stomach. The keva today is not worth very much. They throw it in the garbage, or they make it with animal food. Maybe it is worth, I don't know, the keva. But what is the lichoyayim? The lichoyayim is related somehow to the word malkoichoi. It's not exactly the same, but there's a relationship, and we'll see something we're loose over here. And it's not so clear what exactly the lichoyayim is. In most English translations, it's called cheek. You give to the Kohen the zeroya, the front right leg of every animal that you slaughter, even today, and the lichoyayim, whatever that is, and the keva. There are four stomachs in an animal. One of the stomachs is called the keva. That is a gift that goes to the Kohen. Now, what is the lichoyayim? Halacha l'maisa, we pass, and the lichoyayim is the entire tongue. That's the halacha, the tongue. The halacha, that, now a tongue, if you go into Moshe's or to mountain fruit or into pomegranate, you'll be very glatmar, you'll be very disturbed to learn that the tongue of an animal, of a cow, is probably somewhere in the range of $75. With inflation, it's probably even more. Okay, it's $100 already? Woohoo! Wow. Okay, that's quite a treat to go have a tongue. So if the slaughterhouses would give every single tongue to the Kohen as a gift, they would go out of business. This is a very big topic. Why is it that Bizman Hazeb, we are in utter violation of not giving the Kohanim their due? This is not a halacha that depends on the Kohen Kodshim. Adarabah, this halacha applies to Chulin. Every animal that you slaughter of Chulin, you are required to give to the Kohanim the Zeraya, the Lichayayim, the Hakeva. And we don't do it. Why not?
They have Kohen, they sell it back, no?
It's not so simple why we don't do it. We spoke about this a couple of times in Eretz Yisrael, they have Bezdin, and they give, they I don't know who does this, the Bezdin gives to Kohanim, they give them a couple of dollars, and they represent all of the Kohanim of the world, and they basically, they're Meichel it by through a bribe, by giving a couple of bucks. They do this in Eretz Yisrael, they don't do this in America. I don't know, we spoke with this many times, someone once put a whole kuntras on this, in the OU there was a person who came and made a big stink about this, and they called a very big meeting in the OU, and they brought down all the Rabbanim, many big Chosher Rabbanim were there, and they had a whole discussion about this issue, that we really have a requirement, Bizman HaZeh, to give the Kohanim the Zeraya, the Halechayayim, the Hakeva, and why don't they do it?
Is it only if it's individually owned?
I don't remember the answer. They didn't really have a good, they didn't really seem to have a good answer. What if the Minhag Yisrael is not to do it? Why not? It's the first Shulchan Aruch, you have to give the Kohen Mizvan HaZeh. So you're going to say, first you have to understand, it's not Kodesh. It's not like Truman Chala. If you're not Mafrish Chala, you're in a lot of trouble. That's Misa Bidei Shemai. That's serious business. This is just, it's not, this is serious. It's mammon, but there's no kedusha. It's not as if you're eating tevel. There's no chiv Misa Bidei Shemai. There is a chiv of gezel. Gezel is also very chum. It's gezel.
This is also in Chutzlar?
Like yes. It's not a mitzvah that's totally in Eretz Yisrael, it's totally in the entire world. So the assumption is that Bizman HaZeh is the basic answer, the Kohanim are Moichel. They're Moichel. There's an assumption, they're Moichel. The question is, this goes back hundreds of years ago when it was a very different world. Are they still really Moichel? They're Meichel. Do we really say they're Meichel? And in Eretz Yisrael, it got to a point where they didn't feel comfortable with this, and they had Kohanim who represented Choshev Kohanim, who actually signed documents representing all of the Kohanim that they're Meichel. Now Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem has grown to a whole new world, and the question is, do we still say that today? And obviously, if they're going to start giving this to Kohanim, first of all, there are problems. Because Kohanim today don't necessarily have their yichus. The yichus of Kohanim is not vaday. So no one can really say Bizman HaZeh that they are Kohen Miyuchas. The exception of a few people consider Kohen Miyuchas. So you anyway can give it to them. Hamaitzei mechaveroi olav hara'oya. If I remember correctly, 95% of this kuntras proved that that's a ridiculous argument. If the kohen gets an aliyah, if this fellow gets an aliyah, he gets kohen, he's a kohen. Vezehu, good enough. Gedoyla chazaka, you can give him the zroya, the lechayayim, the akeva. Don't give me the answer that Kohanim are not miyuchas in this man hazeh.
And you do pidyon aben also.
You do pidyon aben, and 95% of them do not give the money back. There are some Kohanim who gave the money back, who do give the money back. Because they're afraid, if I'm not a real Kohen, it's gezel. I have taken from you money that does not belong to me, so they don't give it back. On the other hand, if a Kohen gives it back, then I'm not really giving it to the kohen, because if I know in advance the kohen is going to give me back the money, it's a matana al manas lahachzir. So my child has not been redeemed. This is the catch 22 dilemma. What do you do with zman hazef apinyan haben? Mitzad echad, if the kohen accepts the money, it might be gezel, and my child might not be redeemed. If the kohen gives me back the money, then when I get, and I know that in advance, so when I give him the money, I don't really have kavanah to give him the money. The machzor shekel is about $100. It comes out roughly to $100. Price of silver fluctuates. You have to go look up what it cost. Price of silver now is somewhere between $50 and $100. It's always fluctuating. So this is the catch 22. So the same argument is made with regard to the zroya v'halicha yayin v'hakeva. Now the zroya, I don't know how much it's worth. It's probably a lot of money. There's also the gitanosha. That's the back leg. I don't know anything. The gitanosha I don't know anything. But when it comes, and the keva does not appear to be worth very much today. It could be that today it's not worth it for them to kasher it, and they just give it. They sell it to guy for animal food or whatever they use it for. But the lechayayin is a fortune. That's the most expensive part of the animal. And questions, what exactly is the lechayayin? And we're fortunate to learn over here this passage, the mal koichoi. The mal koichoi is related to the lechayayin, and we'll see in a few moments a different perushim. But right now, let's finish the passage. Yavish racheres koichi, l'shoni mudbak, my koichi, either my strength or my fluids, my bodily fluids have been dried up. Thus my tongue, it cleaves to the palate. To the tongue, it means my lishoni, my tongue is mudbok, it cleaves to the malkoichoi, to what? What does that mean? To the palate, what's above it, what is below it? Uliafar modest tishbiseni, you have poured me. Tishbiseni means to pour me out to the afar of death. This pasuk will see, give me some foreshadowing in the Minchas Erev. Esther is speaking. And Esther here, we'll see al derech drush, is saying to Hashem that the principle of karka oilam. Esther, how is Esther allowed to marry Achashverosh? Why don't we say that it's one of the gimel averos chamuras, or at least at Abizrayu? Why? So the answer is that a woman has a leniency that a man does not have, that a woman is passive. Karka oilam. The term is karka olam, and over here the medrash connects the word karka, and the medrash and the farshim connect the word karka olam, that a woman is passive, which is just earth, to this expression uliafar modas, just dead, dust of the dead. We'll see a little bit soon. Let's see the mitzvahs of Rashi first, pasuk kazayin.
There's a difference between the previous pasuk. Over there it was liquid, mind, donar, and this, and everything was pouring. And here it's
dry, fresh. Dry, excellent. There it was. There was some moisture, water flowing, wax melting. Max, the atzmosai, there's still at least there. Now zero. Now it's dry like a piece of pottery. Let's see the mitzvah stuff. Pasuk tezayin. It says mudbak mal koychoy ba'avur hatzar, due to its pain. Kol harayk shabepi. The roik, he learns the word koichi. Koichi means roik, saliva. There is no longer saliva in my mouth. And thus my tongue is glued to my mouth. Let's read tish beseni, ta'archeni, you have arranged me. Lishkav, to lie, le'afar mavis, v'hu akever. Afar mavis, he calls here the grave. Now the word tish beseni, he has an interesting translation. It means to arrange, to set. Okay, tish, you put a pot. The word that's used to set a pot is tish b'seini. Shefois. Shefois means to set in place. There are many words for setting. Sima, misina, sima, shefisa. Shefisa is a term which usually refers to a pot. And over here he translates it to mean ta'archeini, you arrange. Look at the mitzudos tzion. In Mitzvah Sion it says Mal Koichoi. What does it mean that my tongue cleaves to Mal Koichoi? Humashem Mima'al Haloshoin Umitachas. What is above the tongue? What is below the tongue? I don't know anatomy. What is that called? I'm a dentist. We have two dentists. Rav Mordechai. Oh, Mordechai, Hayudi. What is the name? The name of the this part of the anatomy. Rav Dov, what is it called?
The palate.
What's on, that's called the palate?
The palate is above.
Above, what's below? So what does l'chiki mean? What is l'chich?
The palate.
The palate. What is the palate?
The top of the mouth.
Top. And what's the bottom of the mouth called?
The floor of the mouth.
What?
The floor of the mouth.
Florida?
The floor.
The floor of the mouth. The floor of the mouth. I thought you said Florida. The floor of the mouth. That is called the Malkoi Choy. Why is it called Lekach? Ki Lekach Toiv Nosati Lechem Lekach. You know, you go Chassidim, it's a Yiddish word. Lekach. Erev Roshana, the Gabbai gives that Lekach. Or the Rebbe. The Rebbe, Erev Yom Kippur. Lekach. Rav Baruch, give out Lekach?
Yeah,
he gives out Lekach. You know why you give out Lekach? No one should have tainus on you. A Gabbai, everyone is Choshed the Gabbai. Everyone is Choshed the Gabbai. Why didn't you give me Shlishi? You know how great I am. How could you not give me Shlishi? Buddy, there's someone that's greater
it's
than
not
you.
The real reason. The reason why he gives out the Lekach.
It might be Gzeira that you have to take from other people during the year. So this should be.
This should be. They're saying a very profound reason. And in case there was a Gzeira in Shemayim, that you, the person should be a taker. A taker should be a Nitzrach. This should be the fulfillment. By taking the sweet honey cake from the Gabbai, I have fulfilled the Gezerah. The Gezerah, and now it's all smooth sailing. Like in Chazal say, go to Chasna, Ein Kisuba She'ein Batigra. There's a curse in this world that there is no such thing as going to a wedding, a Kisuba, which is a metaphor for a wedding, that there will not be a fight. There will always be a fight at a Jewish wedding between the mechutanim. That's it's a curse. It's built into the curse from Bria Sa'ila, from Chet Adam Rishon. Every chasna is going to be a tigra. So you go to the wedding, and you look at your mechutin, you say to the mechutin, mechutin, I really don't like your tie. You couldn't find a better tie for this chasna. I know you may have paid $300 for that tie, but I really don't like it. Oh! You were Mekayim the Tigra for a Narishkeit. And now there's nothing more to fight about for the rest of life. There's nothing more to fight about. It's a dogma. You give the Sitra Achra. Give him what you want. There's another time where you give the Lekach is, just in case. Any member of the Kehillah has a complaint against the Gabbai, because the Gabbai did not give him kavod, and maybe the person, the Mispalel, it has a legitimate claim. It's a technique of asking Mechillah. It was nothing personal. It was an oversight, nothing personal. I ask you Mechillah, take some honey cake, and let's celebrate.
In case the Gabbai absconds some of the funds.
In case he stole some money,
yeah.
So this becomes a piece of a. Do you know that in Wash? I don't know this article. The headlines. I don't know what this article means. I only read headlines. I don't have patience to read anything, but the headlines I like to read. Then Washington D.C. a dozen donuts cost $57. Why does it cost $57 for a dozen donuts? I have no idea what the article said. So you're saying a piece of honey cake can be worth millions of dollars. So in case I stole your money, here it is. I'm giving you a donut. The donut has a very high value. You should accept this in lieu of whatever I took from you. Okay, lekach. Why am I telling you this Narishkeit? Why am I telling you? Because the word in Yiddish word lekach, I don't know if it's Yiddish, Gesundheit. Lekach means, it means food. Lekach means food. That's what it means, food. Now we use this, ki lekach toiv nasati lachem toirasi al tazovu. Toir is called food. Lekach means a teaching. We translate it in English, ki lekach toiv. A lekach means kach, a taking, which somehow is translated in English, a teaching. When you teach somebody knowledge, you're giving him something significant. Ki lekach toiv, a a good teaching. But that's not what it really means literally. Literally, lekach means food.
I think with this what he means here.
Oh,
I can't talk anymore. I can't talk anymore. Lishonim would back
lechiki.
I can't talk. I cannot sing. I cannot.
It means speech, yeah, lekach.
I have no strength to talk.
To talk. So you're doing more of the midrashic approach. But let's look at the literal interpretation.
My is also shalal.
Spoils.
Spoils. I cannot.
Lekach is a taking. Taking. Okay, it's another form. But literally, here, it fits very well into what it says, though, because according to the Adma Farshim, lekach means the molars. The molars. It doesn't mean, over here, the Mitzudas taught us it means the palate and the floor of the mouth. Now, why? Why did he say that? Because it says here the tongue, ulishoini. Why then would malkoichoi, b'lashon rabim, refer to the palate and the floor? The answer is the shoresh of the word malkoichoi is lekach. It's lekach. What is lekach? Food. What it, and in this form, when you have a tongue and you put food in the tongue and you chew, the tongue is what is processing the food. And what is above the tongue, what is below the tongue, is part of the tools that a person, those portions of the mouth are part of the tools that a person uses to process food. You'll say, really? The top of the tongue, the below the tongue. If you want to talk about what really processes the food, I would refer to the teeth, the molars. No, not the teeth.
Without the tongue pushing the food.
Okay.
Onto the teeth.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Okay.
The tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. Oh yeah.
The tongue.
Is the strongest
muscle in the body. Wow.
You
okay,
you could bring down a president with your tongue.
No, that's also true.
So here, I just want to, it's, I mean, this is all new to me, all this incredible stuff here. The word mal koichoi is lekach. Huma shemimal haloshoin umitacha, we did it before. Tish beseni inyan acharicha, okay, that's the pat. And also, it makes a lot of sense. This is another curious point. A lot of incredible language in Tehillim, from everything we've learned, I think every pasuk, there's another knockout punch to teach you language. And what's this pat? What pat is going on over here? The word ul'afar moves tish b'seini. The word tish b'seini means to put in place. But usually it's a word in reference to a pot of food. What's it doing over here? Exactly the point. We're dealing over here with all of the terminology of food, of processing food. We're dealing with the tongue. We're dealing with the mal koichoi, the part of the mouth that is instrumental in processing food. So when you want to now say that I've been put into the grave, and you want to continue in the vocabulary of food, and you want to use the word being put in place, so when you put a pot in place with precision, that it should not be too much on the fire or too little on the fire. Ah, the word tish b'seini is the appropriate word. You're dealing with a pot of food, dealing with food, this word really fits well into the context. All right, we'll come to this a little bit more in a moment. Let's just see Rashi now. Rashi says, you have a long Rashi over here, mal koichoi. What is the word mal koichoi? This is a hard word. So he says, Heim hachani chayim. This is the chani chayim, which I'm assuming means the palate, and as Rav Dov taught us, the floor of the mouth. Okay, it's a sandwich. B'loshon Rav Yudnem. Okay, we have the chich. We always say, Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki. That's b'loshon yochid. That l'chari refers to, I guess, just the palate on top. Over here it says, B'loshon Rav hachani chayim. Shekar Rebuchol, the floor is yours.
Which means palate.
The
palate.
Kish Adam Neitzer, when a person is in pain. Now this he's saying is a very interesting principle. Ein roik motsui b'fiv. Why is that so? The brain sends a message to the palate, shut down the dam, turn off the faucet, no saliva. When a person is in pain, if for some reason it triggers a chemical reaction in the mind, that there is a lack of saliva. That would mean that you can do a test. You can go and you can take a swab on a person's tongue, and just from the amount of saliva that you can detect in that swab, you can determine the degree of tsar a person is in. Every person, whether you realize it or not, is in pain. Every person is going through something. That's the way the world is. Person, some people, Baruch Hashem, they're very happy, and some people are not so happy. And he's saying over here a principle, which I have no idea if this is anything true. He says over here, Rashi, Kish Adam Meitzer, when a person is in pain, Ein Roig Motzer B'Fis. It shuts down a person's natural
saliva glands. That's true.
Glands. That's what it says. Whatever that means. How this works? It's a mystery.
A person is very frightened.
A person is frightened. You know, obviously, being frightened causes bodily reactions. We know Chazal say that a person is frightened, he loses control of his waist. Mm-hmm. A person can go to the Beis Akisa without even realizing it. It says v'atischalchal hamalka me'od parsanida. A woman, Esther became a nida when she went to Achashverosh. She was terrified. Parsanida. She became a nida. A person loses control of his body. The cycle.
She was in shock.
So what does being in shock have to do with becoming a nida? If it's not her time, if a woman becomes nida every 28, 29 days, whatever it is,
it disrupted her
cycle. So you see such a principle, and we know as a fact when a person is afraid, he loses control of his bowels, and he can just go to the Beis Akisei. That's a mitzvah. They say, why do we put a mace in the mikvah? What's this all about? A mace, a kadisha. They put the mace in the mikvah, or they poured tisha kabin. A mace is an aviyah v'isatoma. Ein lucha atoivel v'sheretz biyodoi. There's no greater concept of atoivel v'sheretz. What are you putting the mace in the mikvah? The mace is the aviyah v'isatoma. What are you doing? The answer is there are different types of tumah. There's a tumas mace and there's a tumas keri. Tumas keri. Chazal say that when a person sees the malach hamonas, he loses control and he's moitzi zera levatola. Even a microscopic amount, something which may not be determined. And because of the pachad of Nisa, which causes him to lose control, and his mitzi zera, that is why there is a minute to be toivel a mace, not to take away tumah sames, to take away the tumah of tumas keri.
And women?
Women, maybe parsanida. Maybe women, you apply the principle. I don't know the answer. Maybe women, you say parsanida. Good point. I didn't think about that. Doesn't matter. There's some type. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
A woman does. Some type of fluid comes out because by a woman, you don't put them down by the kever. You just go straight to the kever.
Well, I don't understand.
When they take, for example,
you don't do the
pull up to the kever.
Yeah.
You don't put a woman down. You take her straight to the kever because she's.
No mamodos. Because of this reason?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know all these. The Kabbalistic and Yanin. But the point is, there is such a principle that when a person is in a frame of mind that affects his biology, it affects his function. We all know that to be true. We don't know great chachma, but and here he's just saying this principle over here that when a person is in tsar, ein roik motzer b'fiv, v'menachem pasa no lal kochi. Rabbi Chol, what does this mean?
Yeah, this word interesting. Eight tadeo, which he says means tongue.
Oh.
Now, before we said in the Mitzudas, we talked about the upper palate and the lower. If you put them together, they form tongues.
Okay.
Right? Open and shut?
Open and shut. Their tongues on the tongue. But yet he goes on to say, Kimo, b'melko chayim lokach. He took. Lokach. And here he says, Sadi v'hamalkoyach. So what is the malkoyach? What are the tongues? What are the tongues? Hey ma'ashinayim. Ha'ashinayim asher domu l'malkoychei choroshim to the tongues of the carpenters. I can't pronounce that sound. My Hebrew does not allow me to properly say. I can't say Tom. Is that correct? Like Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer? Did I say that right? Someone said to me, who's Tom Sawyer? I only know Tom Cruise. Children, huh? Different world today, right? Okay. V'hamalkoyachem ha'shinayim asher domu l'malkoychei choroshim. This is a carpenter. This means the teeth of a saw. Of a carpenter, a wood chopper. You have a saw. The saw has teeth. It has teeth. When you cut wood, it has teeth. So the teeth of a carpenter, the carpenter's saw. So we have over here basically two perushim as to what this means. I mean, we have different translations of what this means, but so far we live here in Rashi. Either it means the upper part, the palate, and the floor of the tongue.
He actually says it means like tongues, like a blacksmith would use to.
Right. Oh, that's what it means, choroshim? Yeah. I thought it meant teeth. He says shinayim. Shinayim is teeth. And then it says a choresh. A choresh usually, I don't know anything about it, it means a carpenter. And a carpenter has a saw, and the saw has teeth. And the teeth cut through the wood. So and he's saying it's shinayim, so I'm assuming over here. In his other interview, before he starts off by saying it means tongues. So the tongues, whatever, I put out tongues. So these tongues are they, like, it fits well with, either can mean either or. You say it means tongues, it either means teeth, because the teeth, they do hold the food in place to a degree. And it also refers to the palate and the floor of the mouth, which also hold the food in place. All right, let's go further.
We also know from the Torah about the melkochayim, right?
Oh, so the melk, so what exactly does it mean? That's the problem here. The zroya v'halichoyayim.
Melkochayim.
No chof.
Right.
The melkochayim. The melkochayim is the tool.
The teeth became like melkochayim.
Became like melkochayim because it holds it in place. It now
is out.
It doesn't say which teeth, the front teeth, the back teeth.
So there is only teeth. But when you see the pictures of the Anashim in the Shoah, and the cheeks are inside, nothing is there. They're only teeth. You can see teeth. That's all.
Due to what's left. Wow. Okay, so this again, and what teeth are we referring to? The front teeth, the back teeth? I mean, you know the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he held the spoon with his teeth. So the spoon, the teeth were indeed the Melkochayim. He held the spoon with his teeth. The Rasha, Hake Yeshinav, take out the Melkochayim. Hake Yeshinav. You know, this opens up a whole new world of interpretation. Okay, let's go for the law. Afar modes l'dichus misa. What? Sorry?
I think you're mixing up two things.
Uli afar modes, the dust of death. What does that mean? So, the dust, we learned in the Mitzudas, it means the grave. He doesn't say that. He says l'dichus misa, crushing. The crushing of death. He's not describing a location. He's describing that the suffering, a person is being killed. He is deteriorating. His body is shutting down. He's been crushed. He's been tortured. Tish b'seni ata yu moshiveni. You position me l'shoin shefisas kidera shefois hasir. Set the pot in place. Same thing to set. Same exact thing is to set. But we're using an unusual word. Okay, there are different words to put into place. There is sima. You hear the drush, the difference between the word nisina and the word sima. Nisina usually means a sloppy. You just put it down. You have something over your house, just put it down. Who cares? Just drop it. Put it down. Sima, precision. Precision. You put this in the exact location. What is shefisa? That's a word reserved for a pot. You set the pot in place. Whatever, with precision. Now, it's a term unique to a pot. What's it doing here over here? What is the pot doing over here? Well, we're dealing over here with heat. I told you because we're dealing with food, but maybe really more accurately, we're dealing with heat. Since over here, the person is drying up, we're dealing with heat. Heat is what causes evaporation. So we're describing fire. And therefore, when we're describing that a person is being burnt, so then it means a person's body is being put into an oven as if you would put a pot in an oven. Pretty
the
scary.
The beginning of the pasuk, he had like a pot.
Right, a pot. Right, okay, it's kacheres, okay.
I became
like a pot.
A pot of cheres.
Very good. I became like a pot and you're putting me
why,
on the fire.
Why? Because
okay.
The
excellent.
Inside, my inside is dried completely. I have nothing. I'm a cheres.
Very good. You're saying
I
very good. The word tish b'seni is going back on the word ki cheres, I'm a pot. My body is a pot, they're putting me on the fire.
Yeah.
They're putting me on the fire. Scary stuff. Okay, so these are the psukim that we wanted to do. One more pasuk, no, really, two more psukim, and then I want to go through the mafarshim. We'll do two more psukim, and then we'll do some selective mafarshim. We have time. Ki sivavuni kilavim adas mleim. I've been surrounded by dogs. Adas mleim hikifuni, an assembly of evildoers. The word mireim comes from the word ra. This isn't a common word. Mireim means a collection of evil people. Hikifuni, the third word. This is the third time we have this word. We had the word sivavuni, we had the word keser, kitruni, and now we have the word hikifuni hakafa. Three words which mean, for our purposes, almost the same thing. I've been surrounded. Koari, like a lion. Again, we have a lion. Yodai v'ragloi, my hands and my feet. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk yizayin zudav kelovim. Noishrim, they're here. He says in the mitzvah, it's another insight. Not just dogs, biting dogs. Okay, dogs that bite. What are you afraid of? When you see a dog, what are you afraid of? Shouldn't bite me. Shouldn't get bitten by a dog. Okay, that's noishrim kichlovim. Kari like a lion. Yeshabru yodai. A lion doesn't just bite. A lion breaks. Yeshabru yodai v'raglai. They broke my hands and my feet. Kimoho ari hameshaber atzmais hanitrof befiv. Okay, so a dog bites, but a lion breaks. Let's see Rashi, kari like a lion, yodai v'raglai, kiluhem midukoim befi ari. It's as if my hands and my feet have been crushed in the mouth of a lion. V'chena machizkia, kari ken yishaber kolatz mosoi. My bones are broken like a lion. It breaks, it crushes the bones. One more pasuk, asaper kol atzmo. So this is an amazing pasuk. We'll see the Mefarshim asaper. And what does what asaper mean? It can mean either to count, which is more of a Drush interpretation, or it means to relate, to speak.
Right.
Asaper. I think the naf means if the aleph is part of the shoresh. Asaper. If the aleph is part of the root, it would then mean I will speak. If the aleph is not, it's just a prefix, then the word is soifer. It's to count. But right now we're going to translate it to mean to speak. Asaper kol atzmo soy. They will speak. Heima they yabitu, they will gaze, yiruvi, they will look at me. What does that mean? Look at the mitzudos on this pasuk, asaper. Migoidel horozor, due to the enormous withering.
You can see the bone outside.
Oh, right, you can see the bone outside. So bone, let's see. Migoidel, due to the hunger, due to starvation. Rozoin means it's lean. Rozoin means I'm emaciated. Due to the intensity of being in a state of emaciation, boltim atzmosai, my bones, they burst out. You can see them like a skeleton. We've all seen these horrific images of people from the Holocaust. My bones, they burst out. At she'uchal l'sofram. So here Yitaka says the word means to count. You can count them. You can count my bones. Ramach evorim. Ushasagidim. Those are even. That's not. Those. I'm sorry. Those are ramach evorim. Those are the limbs. That's not ushasagidim. That's not. That's nothing. But you can count my bones. V'sonai, my enemies, mistaklim bi. When it says in the Exodus, they look at me derech bizoyin unikama. So again, the passage over here means asaper kol atzmo. So you can count. I'm emaciated. You can count my bones. Hema, my enemies, the subject of the word Hema, refers to my enemies. They, yabitu, they look at me with scorn, and yiruvi, two words which mean the same thing. They look at me with an intense hate. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yudches says, Asaper kol atzmosoi ke'ev atzomai. The pain of my bones, it seems he's saying the word means, it means, they asaper kol atzmosoi, the pain of my bones. So what does he mean with asaper? I don't remember what it means. According to Rashi, Rashi translates the word, how does he translate with asaper? Let's look over here in the Radak. Does he explain the imovel lesaper to speak? Imovel lesaper tsorosai lefnei gidolehem mimasha yashkuni. You see that the Radak, he learns it speaks. So I think Rashi is saying the same thing. My bones, it's as if my bones are speaking. They're speaking. What are they saying? What are they saying, my bones? Rashi ke'ev atzomai, their pain. My bones are relating their tsar. If I'm not mistaken, that's how Rashi is. This is what Rashi appears to be saying, that my bones are expressing pain. They are relating the tsar, and then he goes on. Hema yabidu semechim leedi, and my enemies rejoice over my misfortune, my destruction. What?
What exactly is the misfortune?
My tsaros.
What tsaros?
Poverty, death, loss of life, Holocaust, everything.
When, you mean that it's not just David. It's a whole.
So that's the question. Who? Rashi vacillates. Rashi sometimes says it refers to David. Sometimes he says it refers to Klal Yisrael. Talks about Nebuchadnezzar. Refers to who's he speaking to? Pashtus is Klal Yisrael. This whole mizmor is the collective written in the form of the collective noun. The whole Klal Yisrael is being shown. Yeah.
Pasuk Yudzayin, it says, first it says dogs, and then it says Ari.
Oh, right. So
Rebbe once told me that this is going on Esther. First she refers to Ahasuerus
as a
dog, but then she goes Ari, and then she says he's like a lion.
Right, so we're going to have the Medrash. Excellent. That's I think Gemara. That's Mamashah Gemara Masechet Megillah. Mamashah Megillah says that Esther, she called him a dog. She called Achashverosh a dog. And then after we have, there's a lot of depth going on in this mizmar, an enormous which you know you don't really hear people talking much about this. And that is Esther, when she came into the Melech, when she came into Achashverosh, suddenly the Shechina departed. Here she was. She said, "You know what? I'm going to be Meister Nefesh." Mordechai said, "Listen, Esther, im Hachareish Tacharit Shibo Es Hazois." So Esther, she stepped up to the plate. You're right. I will now be Moser Nefesh. Leich kinois es kol ha-Yehudim. They fasted for 3 days. Esther fasted. Esther's servants fasted. And here Esther is now going into Achashverosh to be Moser Nefesh, to die, to be Moser Nefesh. And then what happens? The Shekhinah disappears. Vatilbash Esther Malchus. When Esther prepared to go to Achashverosh, she brought upon her Ruach HaKodesh. She brought upon her the Shekhinah. And then, as Esther entered into the palace, the Shekhinah disappeared. This moment, this very moment, is the subject of a major, major bulk of the Megillah, of the Yom Kippur Purim. You don't talk about that. No one talks about it. Everyone talks about, like Yudimais Arsene Kosasan. Let's have a party. Let's drink. Talk about the Chet. They bow down to the Tzelem. Okay, those are all very important parts of the party, parts of Purim. But one of the most important elements of the story of Purim is this moment when Vatilbash Esther Malchus. How could it be when I now make my move, I walk into the Cheder HaPnimi of Achashverosh, after all this, everything you put me in position, it was L'malo Mederech HaTeva, that I should be in this position, and I'm Moiser Nefesh, I fast for 3 days, and Vatilbash Esther Malchus, and now the Shekhinah disappears? Keili, Keili, Loma Zavtani. This is very critical. The entire Mizmar is focusing on this moment. How could this happen? Almost everything in this Mizmar is where Esther is now making, in a split second, a Cheshbon HaNefesh. What did I do wrong? In the spiritual world, that this could happen, the Shekhinah could disappear. You know, it's like Lahavla, Rahman Muslim, Lahavla, Ilvahal Dolos, is a plane crash. Okay, so they make an investigation and they go over every last detail. Every screw on that plane has to be accounted for. What exactly went wrong? How could this happen? Everything in the spiritual world is perfect. Keili keili lama azavtani. And every pasuk of this mizmar is we're going through a ride. We're going into Esther's mind, and she's reviewing every possible error, every possible failure that she and Klal Yisrael may have done, as to understand how the Shekhinah can depart. Because if the Shekhinah is not going to be with her now, when she goes into Achashverosh, she's DOA, dead on arrival. There's nothing. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. She's going to go into Achashverosh, come to a party. If the Shekhinah is not returning now, done. We're done. What? Where did I go wrong?
We can explain it by the words Vatilbash Esther Malchut, not Shekhinah. We're talking about, okay, I'll do it. No, you're not going to do it.
No, but Chazal said Chazal said Chazal said Befeirish, Vatilbash Esther Malchut, Lov Shor Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah, but.
And then it disappears.
What does she feel? Her feeling is, I will save the situation. No, yes, of course, we will be Hashem, but I will do it. Hashem says, no.
You're not doing nothing.
It's not you, I will do it. And that was the wrong
correct
thing.
Right, you have to find the problem. So Eliezer, he mentioned.
And they said also, we have the daughter of the president is Jewish, the wife of the president. No. That doesn't work.
Exactly.
She called the Mikkeller.
So one of the things, one of the things that she calculated, and she made a cheshbon hanefesh, a possible, is that maybe I called, because I called the Achashverosh a dog. I called him a dog. I called my husband a dog. I should have called him a donkey. Chamor. I always tell you that language is everything. Of Rakafer, of Aaron Rakafer, he says language is everything. He says if my wife Malka, if she would say to me, Aaron, you're a donkey. If she would say you're a donkey, so I would say,
you're married.
Oh, that's so romantic. That's so cute. I'm a donkey. Wow, that's so romantic. She's calling me a donkey or this. But when my wife says, you're a chamor, ooh, I know, it's a whole different, take a word in Hebrew and English, that's a whole different meaning when your wife said, the name someone calls you. She called him a kelef. So she's made a cheshbon hanefesh. Maybe that was not proper. That's not their cheres. And that is the reason why the Shekhinah departed. So I'm doing teshuva. I'm now going to call him an Ari, a lion. Is that the reason why I suffer, why the Shekhinah departed? And everything over here, we're going, it's critical. Where is the parallel to this in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Because Yitzias Mitzrayim is really the prototype for everything. And there's also incredibly significant, I think we spoke about this, and that is with the Chareses. We spoke about the Chareses. What was the most critical moment in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim? When Moshe goes to Paro and says, Shlach Ami V'Yavduni. Paro says, Mi Hashem. And then when Moshe walks out, he says to his servants, don't give them Tevin. let them collect the tevin on their own. They have too much time on their hands. And when the people found out about this, what did they do? They cursed Moshe. Hiv'ashnu esreichenu lifnei paro. When they saw Moshe coming out, they cursed him. And Moshe had tainis on Hashem. Lama hari oisa, lama zeh. Lama zeh shlachtani. Ki meyoz basi el paro. It got even worse. How could this be? Here I am. You set me up for this mission. Everything now is in position. Pokoit pokadati, I come to paro, shlachani. And it gets worse? How could that be? That is a very intense moment of challenge. That's what it's all about. I told you, the Rambam says, I look at the Rambam, my mom went through, I couldn't believe it. It's not all true. The Rambam, when it comes to it, the Rambam is obsessed with Haroises. Obsessed. Ad kidei kach, that Ravid says about the Rambam's obsession, divrei hevel. The Ravid really gives him harsh words. The Rambam is obsessed. He says you're supposed to dip the matzah in Haroises. Dip the mor in Haroises. There's a ceremony. Bring the Haroises to the table. Why? The Haroises represents you now. Get your own tevin. Everything was going up, 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 up. Here's Moshe, the Savior. Bokoit Pokaditi. Everything is looking great. Hashem's on our side. We're going up, 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 up. And then all of a sudden, I'm not you, slaves, work harder. You can't fill the quota, we'll take your children, put them as bricks. Moshe says, everything is going up and now it goes down. That is the greatest test. That's by Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's this entire Mizmar. But Tilbash Esther Malchus? What? After all this, the Shechina leaves? Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani. At this moment, this is the real challenge. The door and everything in this mizmor is a cheshbon hanefesh. Why? What did we do wrong that we lost it at this point in time? Okay, we did the psukim yishim. Tomorrow we're going to go over the slef and mefarshim. We're not going to do the psukim again. To really to open up this a little bit more.